Washington Commanders fans, rally up. It's the Rally Cabin, and you're listening to Commander's Call. And now, your host, Sam Murray of Commanders 365.
Left hand up, everybody. Welcome to the Commander's Call podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find our voices. I'm your host, Sam Murray, alongside my good buddy, Tall Jeff Adams, here to bring you all kinds of new Commanders breaking news, analysis, thoughts, ramblings, everything that you want to hear about the Commanders, you can hear it from us. Lots of good things happened this week in Washington, really not used to that at all. Eric Bieniemy coming over against all odds. New ownership possibly on the horizon. Jeff Bezos possibly putting in a bid finally on this team. A lot to unpack here. How you feeling about all this, Jeff?
No, I'm feeling good about it. I think it was it felt like a long shot for a long time, ever since that first report came out a few months ago. But as the time's kind of gotten closer and closer, it seemed like it was going to be what ultimately did happen. So I'm excited.
Same. It's pretty wild because if you had told me a year ago that, you know, this exact same situation happened with us, I would have told you were crazy. And I got to give credit to, Benjamin Albright, Denver reporter, for dropping this kind of rumor back in like January and then, you know, kind of toss it around like, hey, wouldn't this be cool? And everybody's like, why this, why that? And, you know, even us as fans, why this, why that? But here we are sitting with the reality that not only is Bieniemy our new offensive coordinator, he is our assistant head coach, and Ron Rivera has approached his hot seat head on. So I got to feel good about that, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I think Albright probably had like an inside scoop that no one else really did, because when it came up, it just kind of felt like a rumor, but he's really stuck with the idea that there was mutual interest, and it didn't come to fruition, so.
You know, everybody's like, why Washington? Why Washington? And today in the presser, he's like, why not Washington? But, you know, it almost, not even almost, it makes me think about, was there a connection? Obviously, there is a connection, being that, you know, Rivera, Andy Reid, they've known each other for years. Bieniemy was drafted by Marty Herney back in the day, out of Colorado. Could it be possible that Bieniemy wanted to come here the whole time? Like, you can't ignore the fact that he had so many interviews for head coach and didn't get it. That's still a mystery. You know, we'll figure that out this year. But is it possible that maybe this was the plan the whole time? Like, are they smart enough to actually do that here in Washington?
Yeah, certainly at least the last few months. I think it's one thing we have to give Ron credit for, because a lot of our fan base likes to dunk on him, but we forget that in most league circles, he's pretty well respected by pretty much any reports. Whenever you hear people from like other markets talk specifically about the team, everyone always shouts out Ron Rivera and what a great guy he is and what a great football mind he is. And I guess you think about how we thought about him a couple of years ago when he first came here. I think that kind of sentiment still rings true. He's definitely a guy that has some gaffes from time to time and might not be the best with some of the on the field decision making, clock management stuff, but I think he's definitely a well respected guy, and that's ultimately why the enemy's here, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't see any other way they pull this off, and then reports came out today that Rivera approached Dan Snyder about it way early in the process, and Snyder was all on board. And that kind of leads me into the next, the ownership talk. I mean, what is going on in this front office? Like, are they're not being conservative, obviously, with this hiring. Is Dan actually going to sell this team? Is Dan trying to do this to make it more valuable? It's a very confusing conundrum right now. And it's a lot to sort through. And with all this news coming out at the same time, it makes it even murkier. But I have to admit that it seems positive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I felt for a while that it's definitely going to happen just with all the things coming out. I think both like the league probably wants him out at this point. And for him, I imagine at some point the squeeze isn't worth the juice, just with how much like bad press and how much his kind of just reputation and name has been tarnished by his own doing, fair enough, for the past 20 years or so. But I can only imagine that it's more attractive for him to just take the $7 billion.
I mean, what else would you do at this point? And the more I think the more good things, I guess you could say, he does for the franchise on his way out, I would imagine the more valuable it makes it. I mean, nobody wants to come into as terrible a situation as Washington is, but the reality of it all is being an owner of an NFL franchise is one of the most prestigious accolades, I guess you could say, of a rich person ever. Like, it's very profitable, and especially here in DC, you know, us fans, you know, I think that you know, we have a lot of sleeping fans that could come back and see a change here, and an investor like Bezos, whoever he has behind him, sees interest in something like that. And I really hope that my feelings about that are right. And Bezos obviously hiring that firm today to potentially bid on it, and, you know, is I proverbially, I feel like one of the last nails in the coffin. All signs of point to it. They don't speak out against any of the bidders. Usually in the history of Snyder, if anything was said that was against his will, they would release a press conference, like, immediately, like, oh, like, the, you know, this was, no, this is unfactual, we're a Gold State franchise,
even if
whatever.
It's like a tabloid in, like, India, that's something they'll do. They'll come out with, like, a response and be like, this isn't true, we're taking litigation against it.
Yeah, and we've seen none of that. We've just seen them, you know, make strides, you know, with the, you know, home of record in London and this, that, and the other. You know, it really seems like Dan's on his way out, you know, and it's funny just how it pairs with this hiring and how they're two separate things, very separate things, but somehow they tie together. I also think that it was interesting that we saw Terry McLaurin, Cam Curl, a number of other offensive and defensive players at Bieniemy's conference today. It seems that the players are very, very excited and bought into the concept of Bieniemy being here, and it matches the excitement of the fan base, which is not something we get all the time. And I'm kind of still trying to process all of this, but it really seems like they're excited, like they're going to have this type of relationship with this coach that's highly touted by everyone except for Shady McCoy, who's listening to him anyway. I think it speaks volumes that, you know, you have these leaders of the team that are there at the press conference, like, ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. I feel like I can't remember another kind of comparable hire we've had where all the players were there like that. Even when Ron was hired, I don't really recall, like, Terry or John Allen being there. I might be wrong on that, but it doesn't really come to mind.
Well, I think this team, what Rivera has done over the past three seasons, this team is at a point where the locker room is fairly stable. And you have guys, like, when Rivera took over Jay Gruden's locker room, not to dunk on Jay Gruden, because I have grown to like him more than when he was our head coach, you didn't have that, you know, cohesiveness in the locker room, that raw drive to win every game. And it just seems like even in the off season, even when these players could be out, you know, on vacation on a boat, like the Giants in Miami, they're there in Ashburn, you know, on this weird 75-degree day too, sitting there listening to their new offensive coordinator, like it's this giant head coach hire. I just think the whole team bought around it is very, very telling.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I even read on Twitter that I think, like, Terry or some of the players were on vacation in California and came just for this. I think Howell was out of state too and came in. Yeah, and it definitely is telling for how excited people are and how bought in people are. Also, it's probably the first time a lot of them have actually had a chance to meet him in person. So I imagine they've been pretty busy with, I don't know, paperwork and stuff, getting things together the last few days. And yeah, I mean, this is probably their first face-to-face interaction, really.
Yeah, and they're not even allowed to talk football, you know. They're just there because based upon Bieniemy's reputation and what they think he can do for them and do for the Washington Commanders. I mean, it sounds great to me, and I really hope that they can move forward. This will be the spark that they really need to take the next step, because their fallacies over the last 3 years have been pretty major. But I do believe this team is at a point where they, like I said before, they truly want to compete, they truly want to win, and they have a lot of pieces in place to make that happen. Now, it's very interesting also with Sam Howell. And the interest and the willingness to work with him that Rivera and Bieniemy have expressed, touted first round pick turned fifth round pick, showed a lot of promise, didn't get a lot of opportunity. You know, what are they going to do? Is Sam going to really get the job here? Is he going to get the opportunity? Obviously, I think he'll get the opportunity, but, you know, maybe they make a trade. I doubt that, but What do you think? Like, do you think there's going to be a veteran that backs him up? Do you think they're actually going to go through with this thing? Do you think they're maybe draft somebody? Both? I mean, what's going to happen with the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think they'll probably roll with Sam Howell and a veteran. It just kind of makes the most sense just with kind of where they're at right now and kind of the decision they've made at quarterback in the past, being with a big swing what was Wentz, and then the year prior having the journeyman starter in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we all know how both those situations turned out. So I think they're probably trying to play it somewhat cautious. And I imagine also seeing some of the success that the 49ers have had in the playoffs and regular season, just with having a run first team and having three different quarterbacks for this year and getting the most out of that, just with like having a good roster and smart game plan. So it seems like that's what they're going to do. I think, I don't know, there's a possibility we see some, maybe like a Derek Carr visit or something, just because with the tier of quarterback it is, it would kind of be negligible for them to not even kind of look into that to see what it would cost. Yeah, just because he is a competent starter, you can probably debate like if he's the guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl. But I think if you put him on this roster right now, that would be a 10-11 win team, in my opinion. We'll see how much further than that. But I mean, if that wasn't too much, again, I'm also not really predicting this to happen. I'm just kind of saying it as a possibility.
For sure. And, you know, these hypothetical trades for Lamar, Justin Fields, like, you know, it's hypothetical. It's fun to talk about. But, I mean, I think the most attractive thing to this team is that Sam Howell's salary this year is $875,000. He's a fifth-round pick. He doesn't hold a fifth-year option because he's not a first-round pick, but they obviously need help on the offensive line. They probably need a little help at tight end. Definitely need help in the depth of the secondary. Having a guy like Sam Howell, if he's more than serviceable or serviceable, look, we need a guy that can go out there and make plays, you know, when we need him to make plays. Sam Howell has the arm and the legs to do that. We need a guy that just doesn't turn the ball over. We need a guy that supports the defense. You got to go in the red zone. You got to score when the opportunity arises. And if Sam Howell can do that, that allows the team to you know, maybe bring, I mean, I think Dron's going to get tagged and maybe tagged twice, you know, because he wants 22 a year. That might keep him under that, but I digress. But it allows you to keep guys like that. It allows you to have a little bit more wiggle room, sign some offensive linemen to build around it, and kind of in the mold of what the Eagles did. Like, it's very hard to have success in the NFL as it is, and it makes it even harder almost when you have a giant contract for a quarterback. And to have that freedom at the you know, at that position, especially if your guy is performing, as we've seen with the 49ers, you know, you can build a team and you can be dominant. And you know, every team isn't going to be able to, you know, exactly replicate other teams, but the NFL is built on copycat. Everybody's trying to be somebody that won before. And why not Washington? Just like Eric Bieniemy said, why not? Why not us? We have the talent to win. Sam just got to go out there and make some plays. You know, maybe they'll, you know, get a guy to back him up and tutor him along the way. But I mean, I think they're in a better position than, you know, the average, you know, Twitter user that just scrolls across Washington and says, oh, it's, you know, Washington, they're going to suck just because they're Washington. I think they're in a way better position than most people think. Washington is rolling into this offseason with around $6 to $8 million currently in cap space. That will obviously increase once they presumably cut Carson Wentz, because, you know, I don't see any situation where he's on this team, you know, come opening day 2023. Definitely have a lot of guys right now that are either free agents or eligible for extension. Daron Payne obviously coming out of his fifth-year option, looking like they're going to franchise tag him. Also have guys like Cole Holcomb right behind, and Cam Curl, who is going into the last year of his contract, but has expressed big safety money that
his dad has, at least.
His dad has expressed that. So you got these guys, and Jeremy Reeves, you know, all-pro Jeremy Reeves, all-pro Revo. He's a restricted free agent, so I expect him to be back. I'm sure Washington will tender him. But as far as Daron Payne goes, you know, what are your thoughts there? Like, what, you know, what do you think this team should do, or what will they do with, you know, this star defensive tackle?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we need to see them do something that they haven't always done before, which is just get value out of him. And that means either signing him to a long-term deal with guaranteed money he wants, or franchise tagging him and trading him.
I think it could really go either way. I do think that there would be a really big market for him in a tag and trade situation. Just reading through some of the free agent availability lists for this offseason, I think a lot of people would consider him, were he a free agent and not in the tag, to be probably the best like player on the free agent market, kind of top, especially with the year he's coming off of, being an interior defensive lineman, having an 11.5 sacks. That's probably like the time when you're going to get the most value out of him, because that doesn't happen super frequently for interior defensive linemen. So I don't really have a guess as to which way it's going to go, but I think we'll see one of those situations. Either they'll extend him or tag and trade. And like you were saying with the Sam Howell contract, it's much more realistic or much more feasible to have him stay here with that, if they're going to stick with Sam, just because he's the fifth round pick and is accounting for almost under the cap.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because you also have to factor in, you got to wonder, does he want to be here too? You know, everybody's like, oh, just resign him. Like, it's not that easy. Like, he hasn't, like, there's been some stuff with Deron that will, like, make me kind of think that, like, maybe he doesn't exactly want to be here, or, like, he doesn't have the drive towards the common goal of this team that maybe others have. And maybe that's not fair. That is just me speculating. But I feel like that factors in, you know, it makes it even harder to decipher what's going to happen here. Franchise tag, a lot of players use that as a starting point, as a springboard to even begin negotiations, because, you know, when these guys are going into free agency, they know, like, I can get this money, this is what I deserve. Basically, the franchise tag is a median of, you know, basically what they should be jumping off of for a contract. Tagging him does allow them time up until July to extend talks with him before the franchise tag actually locks in. God forbid they tag him and he doesn't sign it, which I, in this situation, I really can't see that happening, but it has happened in the NFL before. Like I mentioned earlier, like, he's asking for 22 annually, and per, I believe it's Spotrac, that the average or projected AAV even next year for franchise tags for defensive tackles would stay about $1 or $2 million under what he would be asking for annually if they sign him to a long-term deal. So you could see them, you know, go in a direction where they're like, we'll just, you know, do like we did Sheriff and tag 2 years in a row. Or they could go in the position, you know, or in the direction where a team like Chicago, who has tons of picks, you know, kind of circle back to the Sam Howell thing. And this is very hypothetical, not saying I want it to happen, but it would make sense if that organization, who did not draft Justin Fields, wanted to move forward having their first round pick and their pick of quarterback this year. They have a giant need at defensive tackle and the most cap space in the NFL. So a Deron Payne package for a Justin Fields package, I know it's a little far-fetched, but the numbers and the needs would match up. Not saying that's going to happen at all, just kind of wanted to touch on the possibilities of what we could see with Deron Payne.
Yeah, I think I'd probably settle for Deron Payne for the first overall pick if I was a GM. I think that'd probably be cool with me.
I mean, definitely. Hopefully they throw in next year's too, because, I mean, come on. Nobody gets their left hand up like Deron Payne. Let's be real, man. And nobody has a mullet on our team like Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb, interesting case. I like him a lot. He has had some injury issues. He's been very versatile. Really seems to hate the Cowboys, which I love. Going into he's going into free agency. Might be one of those guys that has more value on our team than, you know, in free agency. So maybe we're overvaluing him as, you know, people talking about it. But we're very thin at the linebacker position, and I don't think it would be wise to let someone who is so, you know, deep-rooted in this defense get away from this team, especially at a position that is so thin.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he's a player that you really should keep. I mean, I don't really know what type of interest he's going to draw in free agency, but it really does seem like he's a really solid player who knows the defense really well and plays the different linebacker roles really well. And probably won't cost you that much, I imagine. And that's definitely a position where you're going to have some need, especially for depth with, I think Jamin mainly playing the off-ball linebacker role last year. you want to keep called to keep being the mic, just to kind of keep your core intact. There are a lot of off-ball linebackers in free agency this year, though, so maybe they want Jamin to play more middle linebacker. Maybe they feel like he's progressed to the point where he can handle that better than he did his rookie year. Then they could kind of go after someone a little more flashy, but I'm not sure if they really want to put all their eggs in the linebacker free agent market.
Well, they certainly haven't shown a propensity to spending their financially over Ron Rivera's tenure. We've all wondered, like, why are they not improving this position? And it has shown in this defense that they don't use three linebackers often. It's more of, you know, the Buffalo nickel, the extra defensive back, extra safety. I still don't think that's a reason to ignore the position. And I think, you know, you can't let guys that have performed pretty well in it. Like you said, Cole Holcomb holding that mic position, even though Jamin Davis, when Holcomb was injured, did end up getting that green dot towards the end of the season and playing pretty well. But I don't have the trust yet in Jamin Davis to be able to anchor that himself. And I agree with you. I don't think it would be smart to let someone like Cole Holcomb, who has that experience and has that ability, to get away. You did have guys, I mean, today Bobby Wagner released. I mean, that's, you know, Bobby Wagner isn't the same player he was, you know, 5 years ago, but I mean, everybody likes to hear the sound. Bobby Wagner would be cool. Like, we had London Fletcher at one point, kind of reminds me of the same player. But, yeah, I mean, bringing our own guys back is something I think is pivotal, and it shows, you know, it keeps continuity in the locker room and in the franchise that, hey, like, we drafted you, we developed you, we want to keep you, you know, and like, guys like Terry, John Allen, Rouye, you know, list is more extensive than people like to let on the internet, but, you know, they got to keep that going. And I think Cole Holcomb is a big, you know, underrated, I guess you could say, because Deron Payne shadows this offseason a little bit with the free agency thing. But, I mean, somebody I feel like is going to go test the market a little bit and come back, and he's going to have more value with us than he is somewhere else. And I think it'll ultimately lead to Cole Holcomb coming back to Washington.
Yeah, it makes the most sense. And, like, even if Jamin's your guy, you feel like you don't need, I don't know, to invest a bunch more, you kind of do just from a numbers game, because other than Jamin, now that Cole's not under contract, they don't really have anyone that's, like, really played meaningful snaps. So even, like, kind of echo your point, there's a lot of formations in this defense where they're only using, like, one linebacker, two linebackers, and then having more kind of safeties drop. And the Buffalo role, like you need depth, you need players there, you know? So I do think it makes sense, for all parties. I think he'll probably be back.
That's all we have for you this week, guys. And thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Sam of Commanders 365, and that was Tall Jeff Adams. You can find us both on Instagram at Commanders 365. You can find our podcast page on Instagram as well. That is Commanders Call Pod. Please like, subscribe, leave any comments that you can, leave any reviews that you can. Anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. Talk to you next time. Left hand up.